May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Well, I have to admit, I was so tempted to want to preach on anything but the gospel, because it's kind of a confusing, difficult gospel, but I decided not to be... not to do that. So, here we go. Basically, I would say, if you wanted to sum up the point of this gospel, is do I do what I do because I'm centered on me, myself, and I, or am I centered on God? Believe it or not, that's what I get out of this, because it is a difficult gospel to understand. So here we have a rich man. Of course, we know that's supposed to be God. We have a rich man who trusts the management of his property to a manager, another person. So we could look at that as ourselves, maybe, maybe not. So someone told the owner, the rich man, about the manager who was squandering his property. He wasn't necessarily being deceitful, he wasn't stealing, but he was just like squandering the owner's property. He was being wasteful. He was being, let's say, careless. He wasn't doing a good job, maybe even being a little bit lazy. So the rich man, the owner, asked for an accounting. And let's notice about the manager. He doesn't argue with the owner. He doesn't even disagree with what the owner says. He kind of acknowledges it. So the rich man tells him, "You can't work for me any longer." Well, the manager doesn't ask for his job back. Think about that. He realizes that he really didn't serve his master too well. So he kind of understands. So he starts to think to himself, oh my goodness, what to do, what to do. So he goes to the debtors because he knows he can't physically work. He can't do manual labor. And he really doesn't want to beg, because he just doesn't want to beg, but he would be a social outcast. So he doesn't want to do that. So if we think about this, all of his thinking at this point, not being lazy, but really thinking, what am I going to do? It's motivated by self-interest. Not serving his master, but self-interest. So he decides to take action. So what happens? Back then, before I go into a few things, the manager of, let's say, an estate would get a commission off of everything. So what did he do? He told his master's debtors to lower their bills. And so in other words, he gave up his commission. So he wasn't really stealing. That wasn't the point. At least he gave up his commission. And this has good ramifications, because it made him look good, but it also made the debtors very happy, because they thought, wow, look what he's doing. You know, I'm going to be indebted to him, so maybe he thought they would be more generous when he lost his job. And then third, which is a really good thing, was it made the rich man, the owner, his boss, looked generous and lenient and really good. So at this point, what the manager decided to do was very shrewd, but everyone benefited. Now the surprise comes when we read the gospel, is how the master commends him because he's being shrewd. For us, that's like, what? But being clever is good if it's motivated and done in a good way, in a holy way. So let's think about this. If only his shrewdness was done beforehand in his job, centered around his master, not being lazy, not being sloppy, it would have done better for him because he would have been motivated in serving God. So what Jesus is trying to do is translate the manager and the steward, or the owner and the manager. He's trying to translate that to God Almighty and God's people. We are to be a thinking child of God. We are to be clever. We are to be wise. We are to be careful and have a holy shrewdness. We are to have a love and a faithfulness and be totally motivated in serving God, not ourselves. We are not to be careless with what God has given us. We are not to be lazy with what we're supposed to be about doing in the world for God's people and his entire creation. We are to be faithful in serving our Lord. We are to be devoted to God. We can ask ourselves when we wake up, what's the first thing we think of? Do we think of God Almighty? Do we think, okay, what does God want me to do today? How can I serve God? How can I love God the way he wants me to? Every morning, even if we can just do that, that's a foot in the right direction. Now also, as it goes on a little bit further, that one section gets a little bit more tricky. But the term dishonest wealth should be translated, it refers more to worldly possessions. And what Jesus is trying to do is to remind us and also to warn us about the possibility of how money can become an idol. How money can be a goal for us. How money can distract us and even separate us from God. Whether we're poor, middle class, or rich, it doesn't matter. It's okay to be poor, it's okay to be rich, it's okay to be in the middle. But what isn't okay is if God is not first in our lives. I remember Bishop Mark said one time, you can kind of tell a person's faithfulness to God by their checkbook. What's the first check they write in the month? Is it for themselves or is it for God's work in his church? And I thought, wow, I never thought of it that way. A checkbook is telling. So we can ask ourselves, who do we truly serve? Do we serve ourselves and our own interests? Or do we serve God and his interests? If we are not faithful here, Jesus tells us, if we're not faithful here on earth and what God has given us, how are we going to be trusted with the riches of God's heavenly kingdom? A lot of times people ask me, they say, well, will I know God when I get there face to face? The answer is yes. If someone is asking that, they know God, they're just a little bit on the scared side. But what we don't want to do is ignore God or put him in the back seat so long that because he's not convenient, we kind of forget about our faithfulness to God and what his will is, what he wants from us, and his love and his gifts to us, that we really do forget about him. And when we go to heaven, we can ask ourselves, am I going to remember when I get face to face with God? Will I remember him? We're here in church because we care. We're here in church because we love God. We don't have fear, but we want to continue to help other people have the same faith in God that we do. I bet you there's, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I bet you there's not one person here that at least one Sunday in their life didn't feel like getting out of bed, but they came anyway. I have felt like that. Thank you. I saw that. We're not perfect, but we're loved. We are sinners, but we are saints of God, and He loves us in an unbelievably humongous, abundant way. So we are safe and we are loved. Now let's share that with other people. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, even though it gets confusing at times. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, so that we're given a holy and good and faithful and energetic and loving example to follow. We ask that you draw our hearts and our minds and our souls closer and closer to you so that we can serve you as you deserve and love you as you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.